Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam's weekly panel discussion. My name is Ibrahim Daya, and inshallah today on the program we'll be discussing Futuwa, Gentlemen of Honor. It has been a campaign, a theme that we have been running for about 2 weeks on Radio Islam, discussing the various topics, the various qualities that a gentleman should have. Inshallah, we will be joined by our guest today, Maulana Ashraf Dokrat, and also Qari Tahir Sallu. And an exciting part of the program, or to the panel discussion this week, is that we are giving away a kurta to that listener who calls in and best contributes to the program. The lines will be open from now throughout the program. So the person who calls in gives the best contribution, and you only have a limited time of 60 seconds. So that person who calls in gives the best contribution, inshallah, at the end we will decide and we will be giving away a kurta. So allow me to welcome our guests. Firstly, Maulana Ashraf Dokrat, who is an alim from Lodium, and also an Islamic lecturer at the University of Johannesburg. Ma also contributes to our program on a weekly basis with the book review on Monday with Maulana Habib Babat. So we say assalamu alaikum to Maulana and jazakumullahu khairan for joining us on the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you very much for the opportunity, Maulana.
And the second guest that we have is Qari Tahir Sallu. Qari Tahir Sallu is the Imam of the Mayfair Jummah Masjid and also a teacher and ustad at Madrasatul Sadiqeen. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana, and jazakumullahu khairan for joining us on the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Gee, and we'll begin right away. We are discussing futuwa, so our first question is to Maulana Ashraf Dokrat. And Ma, when we look at this word futuwa, what is the origin of futuwa and how do we define this concept?
Maulana, when we look at the word futuwa, then the word futuwa actually means the way of the fatah. And in Arabic, the fatah is really the brave, young, handsome man. And so this was a concept that existed before Islam even. And then with Islam, the concept grew and it came to mean then the ideal, noble and perfect person, al-insan al-kamil, who is known for his good adab, his good manners, and especially he is well known for his bravery, his hospitality and his generosity. Later we find that the Sufis take up the concept of futuwa in their own writings, and when we look at early Sufi works such as the Kitab al-Luma of al-Siraj, who wrote the work in about the 10th century corresponding to the 4th century, then we find that he makes mention of the concept of futuwa. A famous work on the idea of futuwa is a work attributed to Ibn al-Husayn al-Sulami, who wrote an entire book called Kitab al-Futuwa, the Book of Sufi Chivalry, which has now been translated and is available to people to look at. Later on, we find that others such as Qushayri in his Risala also gives a separate section to futuwa as an important principle in tasawwuf and an important principle in the development of the self. In other words, these are part of the akhlaq, al-hamida, part of those characteristics that a person should adopt in his own life. So it really becomes a very, very important concept later on. And in fact, during the reign of the Khalif, Nasiruddinullah, who was a 7th century or a 12th century scholar, he created a rank within his people, within his military, and within those people who were linked to him and linked to his leadership, a type of a rank, specific rank, of those people who belong to this group of futuwa. And so it became a formal rank, and it was accorded, this title was accorded to certain princes and certain dignitaries. They wore a special dress even, they had a special coat of arms. And in Syria, they opposed at that time the Rawafis, and they rebelled against the Rawafis. They actually quelled the Rawafis in Syria during the time of this Khalif. In Asia Minor, in Asia Minor, then Futua lived together with the Sufi tariqas in the Khankas, and people would belong to one Futua. They would live together. They wore a certain type of a white cloak with a woolen cap and special type of shoes even, and a particular type of dress where they had a knife always in their belt. And they were well known then, these people of Futua, for the hospitality that they gave to travelers. And at the same time, while they showed this great type of kindness, they were always very, very ruthless against any tyrannical rulers. And later on, we find that Futua finds its way into the guild system, where there would be Futua in the guilds of, let's say, carpentry makers or carpenters, or let's say ironsmiths, etc. So even there, in the history of Islam, we find that there were Futua guilds almost that were established. But in all of this, the reason for the existence of these brotherhoods of Futua, or even the entire concept of Futua, is to grow, like you spoke about, youth who were noble, youth who had the qualities of generosity, and they spoke about not only generosity but heroic generosity, and all in all, they said that we must understand that the very reason of our existence is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in our youth to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the youth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and to show a type of a nobility through that. So this is, in brief, Maulana, the type of origin and the history of the concept of Futua. Later on, the concept was even at some point in history, in the later times, closer to our own century times, abused in a sense that people in Egypt, for example, developed a type of extreme views around Futua and linked themselves up to some fascist type of political movements in the name of Futua. But all in all, it is in its origin a very, very noble concept, and it speaks about this heroic type of generosity that comes out of a noble youth.
Yes, as Ma mentioned, that is a very old concept. Even pre-Islamic days, we would find this. And Khalitayr, we find it in Quran also as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Ibrahim alayhi salam as fitan. And in Surah Kahf, he refers to those youngsters in the cave as a fitya too. So in what context have the word fitah been used in the Quran?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The two ayat that have been mentioned, one is, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَنْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. There the word fatan refers to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the history behind this particular ayah is when the people in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam had left the town to go for a celebration out of town, and when they had left town, it was then that Ibrahim alayhi salam, according to some tafsirs, left with the people, and he walked right at the back, and then he turned around and he returned into the city with the intention of breaking the idols, so that people could understand the reality of idols, that they cannot harm and they cannot benefit anybody. Whilst Ibrahim alayhi salam was turning back, he mentioned something regarding the idols, that how inappropriate it is to worship idols and how they cannot benefit anybody, how they cannot harm anybody if you do not worship them. And he came back into the city, came back into the area, and then Ibrahim alayhi salam broke the idols and he left the axe on the neck of the biggest idol. When people got back and they realized that our idols have been broken, that is when they asked, and people said, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَنْ. We heard of a youngster, we heard of a young man, يَذْكُرُهُمْ, who was mentioning them, يَذْكُرُهُمْ, and Mufassirin say يَذْكُرُهُمْ بِسُوءٍ. He said something evil regarding them, something derogatory about the idols. يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, and he is a person that is called Ibrahim. Now, in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Ibrahim alayhi salam as fatan. Now, Mufassirin give a lot of explanation on this particular word fatan in the context of this ayah, that Ibrahim alayhi salam was very, very young, and there are differences of opinions regarding his age at that time. But they say the amazing thing was, at such a young age already, he had realized what is right, what is wrong, and also he was not complacent with the evils in society. So the word fataniya refers to a young man who had the goodness in his heart, and he did not want to accept simply the norms of society. He was not prepared to just allow people to go astray, but he had concern in his heart. Thirdly, as a young man, he had so much of wisdom that he had already planned that I will come back, I will break the idols, and I will leave the axe on the neck of the biggest idol. So he had already planned what was his method of da'wah to these people. And on that, Mufassirin mentioned that ma ba'atha Allahu nabiyyan illa shabban. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever a nabi was sent, he was sent as a young person. وَلَا أُوتِيَ الْعِلْمَ عَلِمٌ إِلَّا وَهُوَ شَابٌ. And the time when a person is most receptive to knowledge is when he is in this stage of youth, as a fatah. Also, what Muhaddithin mentioned, Mufassirin mentioned, is اجتناب المحارم واستعجال المكارم. One of the greatest qualities of futuwa is to abstain from the wrong and to be hasty towards goodness. So this is in the context of the ayah where Ibrahim a.s. is referred to as fatah. Yeah. So the word futuwa in this particular context was referred to that. The second ayah, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. This is in regard to the people, the youngsters who entered the cave, Ashabul Kahf, mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. The youngsters who in their time realized that the king ordered people to worship him, and they were not comfortable with this. So they had realized that in society everybody are going astray, and to protect themselves, these youngsters realized that there are a lot of challenges in society, there are a lot of temptations in society. They did not just simply sit back, but it was the quality of futuwa in them. That is why they are referred to as fitya. These youngsters then left the society. They went out, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. One is they had iman. And when they had this iman and they made the move in order to protect themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. We increase them in their goodness. We increase them in their guidance. So the quality of futuwa in this particular ayah is also giving us another quality of futuwa, which refers to the fact that when a person is living in society, we cannot simply say that the challenges are too much, the temptations are too much. We need to do something as fatah, we need to do something as young people in order to protect ourselves, in order to protect our iman. And when we make that move, this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects a person. Another important thing, and to finish off with, is Mufassirin mentioned that if you look at this particular ayat, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْرٌ آمَنُوا, majority of the followers of the Anbiya were youth. The elders were generally very, very set in their ways. Even in the context of Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was the old people who were very, very set in their ways, and they would very often tell the Anbiya alayhi salam that we follow our forefathers, so you cannot change us, you cannot tell us to bring iman. But it was the youth who went through the stage of futuwa, and they understood that we need to look for what is right, we need to search for the truth, and that is why there are so many young people in Islam who have progressed so far. It is because of that quality of futuwa, which made them search for the truth and also find the truth despite their family background, despite societies, etc.
Yes, some interesting points made there by Molana. And just a reminder to the listeners, you can call in on 011-854-1548. And we are giving away a kurta that is sponsored by Arabic to that person who will best contribute to the program. The topic is a gentleman of honor, so you can call in, give us your insights, your thoughts. What is it that you think a gentleman needs, or what is it? What is the definition of a gentleman? In any way that a person contributes. Maulana Ashraf, in the beginning of the program, you mentioned that even in the Khulafa'i Rashidin, and even the book that was written, Kitabul Futuwa, so it is something that has a history with Islam. But what is the difference between futuwa and Western society's interpretation of chivalry?
A very interesting question, Maulana. When we look at Western chivalry, then Western chivalry comes out of the medieval knightly system, where you know people were knighted, and they then had to keep to a religious code, a moral and a social type of bind and a code for that. And that code of chivalry emphasized some very, very praiseworthy traits. It emphasized and advocated bravery, military skill, generosity, and even generosity in victory. It also, to an extent, advocated a piety. And with that came a type of a courtesy to women. And today when we speak in Western circles about chivalry, the first thing comes to mind is this type of person who is very polite and chivalrous to the to women always. In Islam, we can go a long way, and we can agree with a number of these type of concepts that we find in medieval knightly chivalry, so to say. But Islam goes beyond just the qualities of the knight and the qualities that the knight was supposed to have. In Islam, it is a choice, and it is the choice to do the right things for the right reasons at the right time. And together with all these qualities that we find in the knightly system that are praiseworthy and that Muslims should have, Islam also encourages justice and for that young person to at all times deal fairly and to deal with mercy, to deal with generosity. Also then the concept of having nobility, and by nobility in Islam, where in the Christian world, nobility was always linked to a type of an entitlement or a snobbishness that came with nobility. In Islam, nobility was free from that. Nobility was the ability to uphold one's convictions at all times. And so Western chivalry, and people say that the Western chivalry, we can discuss that later perhaps, that Western chivalry is dead. But Western chivalry did not have that type of complete an understanding of the role of this young noble person who, together with having all the refinery of character and refinery of mannerisms, also has with him a generosity and a justice and a mercy that has to very often balance those traits. So the concept of futuwa, and it is interesting that the concept of futuwa in Islam was practiced and became the mainstay of the Sufis themselves, people who were concerned about character development. So it developed in a very, very religious context, so to say.
Yes, Ma'am. And when we look at having good manners, social etiquette, being courteous and dignified, have we separated all of this from our deen?
I think when it comes to separating it from deen, sometimes it depends who are we looking at as our role models and who do we choose to define what is social etiquette for us. If we look at the Western way of what is social etiquette, etc., and we look at what our deen says, then in Islam has been very, very open that what is our social etiquette in society. Our guideline is simply the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a person follows the guidelines of the sunnah, then without doubt every class of society will have their rights fulfilled. Now when we talk about futuwa, like Maulana Ashraf mentioned so beautifully, that what is, futuwa, the ideal noble man, and generally people would refer to it as what is his character with women. Now, if we look at in Islam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best amongst you are the ones who are the best towards your wives. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about the greatness of daughters. A person who brings up two daughters or a daughter, and he goes through the challenges of life for them, and then he does everything in his capacity to try and bring them up correctly, for him is Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about the rights of sisters. He spoke about in depth about the right of the mother. Al-Jannatu tahta aqdami al-ummahat. Nabi Sallam spoke about the mother's sister, what is their response, what is their rights, etc. Now, if a person is to take into consideration all of this, if we have to just follow the teachings of Islam, we'll find that the majority of social etiquette are found most beautifully explained in Islam. The rights of neighbors, the rights of employees, the society. All of that, if a person is to follow that, I don't think you will find a better, ideal, noble man than a man who follows the sunnah. Today in the world, I think when a man opens the door of a car for a woman, everybody look at him and say, you know, that's a gentleman. But in essence, a gentleman is just not restricted to that. And also, being a gentleman, does it refer to being a gentleman to woman who we don't know? Does it just refer to a woman who is in your workplace, a woman who is out there on the street, you see her and you try and assist her? Or does it also refer more to the woman who Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has clearly stated, these are the people you need to be good to? Now, when we separate the two, then we'll find that a person can be regarded as a gentleman in society, but according to Islam, that could actually be a sin that he's committing. Take a simple example. A person goes out of his way to be courteous and kind and polite, etc., to a non-mahram woman. Now, would that be regarded as a good thing in Islam? Or, and also there's a difference between kind, courteous, and going, you know, beyond that, those boundaries. If we take an example of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, on the occasion when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked one morning, who amongst you was fasting? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, me. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, who amongst you visited the ill? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu lifted his hand. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, who fed the poor? It was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, who attended the janazah? It was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now in one morning, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu managed to do four very, very great things, of which only one, the fasting, was a direct impact upon himself, but the other three was for society. Now, where do you get a better example than a person like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, where in one morning he showed us what is true futuwa, what is the, you know, an ideal gentleman who can do that? I think that is where we find there's no need for us to separate our deen from the concept of being an ideal gentleman.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to our weekly panel discussion on Radio Islam. As we mentioned earlier, our discussion for this week is Futuwa, gentlemen of honor. We'd like to welcome back our two esteemed guests for the program, Maulana Ashraf Dokrat and Qari Tahir Sallu. Assalamu alaikum, and once again, Jazakumullah khairan for joining us on the program. See, we do have a few callers on the line, so before we go back into our discussion, we'll take these callers and see what they can contribute to the program, inshallah. So the first caller we have is our brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ma'ana, wonderful topic. Ma'ana, the gist of the whole thing is to become, like Hazrat Muhammad Rahman mentioned, admiyat, to become a man in the true sense of the word. And it refers, it goes towards suluk, that is akhlaq, character building. In other words, one gets to such a state that, like Montaigne used to say, jannati banna asan hai, aadmi banna mushkil hai. To attain jannat is very easy, because it's kalima, you become a Muslim, and that's enough. Even if you commit the wrong, it's not supposed to be done, you will in the end get into jannah. But if you become a man, you harm nobody, you become so humble that even any creation of Allah Ta'ala will never be harmed by your tongue or by your hands or any way. This is the whole thing, as far as I can understand from this whole program.
Jazakumullah khairan for that. MashaAllah, very interesting point made there, that you said, Admi bin Natu Mushkile. Very interesting point, Ma.
Yes, definitely. I think when we speak about futuwa, then futuwa is one element of that insanul kamil that our listener spoken about, that admi banana. How do we make and how do we become a man and a human being in the true sense of the word? But I don't think we should in some way equate futuwa completely with a good akhlaq and a good character. Futuwa has some special elements that are often missing in our ordinary discussions on character development. There are concepts such as acting nobly, acting with generosity, and these are further ideas, I think, that we need to add and inject into our current type of discussions that we have around character building. We know those qualities are important, all those qualities that develop the man are important, but I think for a long time we have not spoke enough about the ideas that are around the concept of futuwa as such.
Okay, we go to our second caller, brother Adam Kadwa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakum Allah for joining us on the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Ji, brother. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, we seem to have a bit of a... the line is not clear. Inshallah, we're going to call him back. In the meantime, we go to our third caller we have on the line. It's Abba Yasmin. Assalamu alaikum and jazakumullah for joining us on the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My contribution to the topic is, I must say it's a lovely program, Gentleman of the Month. I would like to say, manners make us amen. To be kind, humble, respectable, understanding, forgiving. If you can respect his mother, he will respect his wife. If he can respect his wife, he will have respect for his daughters and his home, those around him, and those around him. That is my regard to Gentleman of the Month.
Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakallah.
Salaam. A very interesting point made by the Papa there, that it starts all at the beginning with, by respecting one's mother.
I think obviously they say if a man can respect his mother, that is his first female that he comes into contact with, and if he has learned it there, then obviously he will learn to carry that on in his life. And I think what is very important for men to also realize is that a gentleman is one that will treat his mother well, he will treat his wife well, and both of them have got their dues in different ways. So I think if it starts, a man who can respect his mother naturally has already in his heart, he's got the respect of a woman. He knows what respect Islam is accorded to a woman. It becomes a lot easier for him later on in life.
Sure. We do have the second caller back on the line, brother Adam Kadwa. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you hear me now?
Gee, brother, your contribution to the program?
Okay, gee, first of all, a very warm salam to Maulana Dokrati, with the same Maulana that was in Waterfall in the 70s. My contribution is that it is the Islamic dictum that do justice even if it's against your kith and kin and against yourself. I mean, that's nobility par excellence. And added to that, I mean, the discussion was that the Sunnah for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba, they were always givers. They were never ever takers, by and large. Imagine if we had to extend this in the current, upheavals that we have in estates and stuff, how much we'd go towards resolving problems.
Definitely.
I want to open the discussion perhaps a little bit in that direction. And in terms of nobility of character. Okay. Jazakumullah
khairan. Yes, we'll be covering that topic as we go along in the program, inshallah. As we continue, jazakumullah khairan to all the callers that have phoned in and contributed. The lines are still open. You can call 011-854-1548. And we are running this competition where the caller that best contributes to the program will be a winner of a kurta sponsored by Arabics. As we continue with the discussion, Maulana Ashraf, that we find that, as you mentioned earlier as well, that in Western societies there is a slogan that chivalry is dead. So if we analyze our own communities, how do we fare?
Yes, Maulana, the question that comes out of that is that if chivalry is dead, who killed chivalry? in Western society, this is quite a serious type of question, and we must look at it in terms of our own growth as a society, and as we adopt more, unfortunately, some of the Western values, how this will impact on us as well. People who have asked this question, who killed chivalry, sometimes lay blame on women themselves, because at times, women send out, and we know the movements, the feminist movement, etc., over the last century have sent out confusing types of messages. Women want to be treated as equals? If they want to be treated as equals, then where is the place for that chivalrous man who wants to, like Maulana Salu said, open the door for the lady so that she gets onto her conveyance. So Western society, we can see, is confused and around the whole idea of being chivalrous and acting chivalry, with chivalry. Our own society, unfortunately, if you ask a young Muslim person what is the meaning of futuwa, he has not even heard the concept. He doesn't understand the concept. Many Muslims, through this 1 week that we had on Radio Islam, have heard the concept futuwa for the first time, perhaps. There are some very important aspects of futuwa that we need to make sure that we as Muslims inculcate, and which some of them which we are not faring too well on are, for example, the concept of karam. Karam is really the vow that we take as the fata, as the young person, to act with honor. Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And we see that the world around us, the societies we live in, are all the time surrounded with opportunities where we have to witness and we have to pass by this world, this worthless talk and worthless activities. And so the Quran tells us that we have to pass by all of that, and we have to pass by things that take us away from Allah and take us away from the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with dignity. And so that concept of being able to stand your own in a society that is completely secular and completely concerned only with satisfying its own desires, and to stand up with karam, with honor in all of that, isn't an so important concept. Let us look at another quality which is part of futuwa, and that is the quality of bravery. Today, unfortunately, we are not prepared to act bravely, and we have not even taken the means, and we have not done what is necessary to act bravely. We don't have the means even. A young person who is supposed to be prepared at all times to be able to act bravely should the opportunity arise, where he has to defend others around him, his family, even the weaker ones that he's supposed to be protecting as a Muslim male, he doesn't have the ability to do so. He doesn't, where once there was a gun and there was the means to do so, his cell phone is now in his pocket. So that bravery that when the scholars of the past said that if you want to see a person that represents futuwa, if you want to see a representative of the complete fata, the complete young person in Islam, look at Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And we know Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was known for his bravery and his ability to act with nobility and dignity, and to defend the deen whenever the occasion arose. So I think part of it is the fact that we need to, as men, develop a type of a masculinity, and don't fall into the stereotypes or the type of pictures that are made up in Western media of this macho male type of figure that is dressing also in some way looks more effeminate, and his ways are effeminate. There is something to be said about the masculinity of the man, and then how he behaves and what are the things that he should be able to do as a Muslim man. So, Maulana, I think that as a Muslim society, we need to definitely, your question was, how do we fare as far as this is concerned? I think definitely we need to pay some more attention to this.
Yes, Maulana, that is an interesting point, that we need to pay more attention to this. And Karitai, we find that in our Muslim societies, or even at large, we find that there is a lot of focus on the tarbiyah and character development of girls. So, alhamdulillah, that's all well and good. But should we, or are we doing enough for our boys, the youngsters that are growing up?
I think on that, for daughters, for our girls, there is a lot of emphasis on tarbiyah. And one of the primary reasons for that in society is that daughters are eventually going to get married. And when they get married, they're going into another family. So with them, they carry the morals of the family that they came from. So end of the day, it's the parents' honor, it's their izzah that is, you know, the izzah that is at stake. So they make sure that, you know, girls are trained correctly and they have the correct upbringing. And they are often told, especially on the dawn of marriage, you know, how to behave, how to react to certain situations. Why? Because parents feel that that is our name that is going into another home. When it comes to sons, then unfortunately there is very little that is done in that regard. And one of the reasons for that, unfortunately, I'm not saying it's the right reason, but unfortunately in society, if there is, example, a divorce that goes along, everybody will turn the focus, not everybody, majority will turn the focus towards the girl. And very few people will question the boy. So that also has been one of the reasons why we put so much of emphasis on the tarbiyah of the girls. Also, a girl spends a lot of time with her mother, and mothers also concentrate a lot on tarbiyah. Now, the father will spend time with his son, but how often do we find a father taking out time to make the tarbiyah of his son? There was a dad's and dad's function, an outing where fathers and sons had to go out. And it was amazing that some of the fathers, this was the first time in their lives they'd actually spent more than 4 or 5 hours alone with their son. And then, you know, at one of these occasions, I just asked a question at the beginning of the talk. I said, I want every father to stand up and go and fetch a chocolate that his son likes, without asking him. And everybody sat. And I said, we don't even know that much about our children. How do we even know about what are the challenges? So I think as fathers, especially it is our responsibility to inculcate these good qualities into our sons. You know, how often isn't it that we're driving, you see an old lady carrying parcels. So we'll tell our son, you see this old lady, that's going to help her. So one person said to me he did that, and his small son sitting in the car told him, but daddy, mommy asked us to go and buy some stuff from the shop and you said we don't have time. If we're driving and we see a young lady, her car is broken down, she's got a flat tire, we feel that that is, you know, a gentleman to stop. But if the wife had to phone and say she had an issue, we say you want to drive, you sort the car out. So it's an all-round thing. And also another quality is bravery. A father needs to instill within his son the quality of bravery. Part of Futuwa is a brave youngster. It's not just a youngster who sits back, but it's someone who's brave. To be brave, you are brave in your deen, you're brave in everything. So if a father, if a man sees something as a threat, he does not sit back and just say, no, I'm going to, you know, think how I'm going to deal with it. A man needs to display this bravery. So with regard to our sons, it is imperative for us to teach our sons morals, to teach them what is futuwa, to teach them what is bravery, what is generosity. That is why very often you'll find people will say that when you are giving out charity, let your children go and give it. You know, if a father is going to the masjid and he knows he's going to put something into the lila box, tell the son, give your son that money, tell him, you go and put it. So we are teaching them this from a very, very young age. So I think it is very important for us to spend more time on instilling all of these qualities of futuwa into our sons.
Yes, definitely. We've spoken throughout this program, we've spoken about these different qualities, bravery, generosity, and these qualities. But sometimes, if we look at a simple thing like saying please, or jazakumullahu khairan, or thank you, this can make a big difference. So are we also losing these basic courtesies?
Manana, I think that that these qualities are necessary, and that we should have them, I have no doubt about it. And no Muslim can believe that as Muslims we should not have these simple courtesies. That we as a society are losing these courtesies as South African Muslims, I doubt that very much, Mon. And I think I'd like to believe that South African Muslims are, by and large, if in your interactions with them, they seem to be very, very well-mannered people. I think in terms of these type of aspects that are part of like we mentioned before, and I think Brother Muhammad mentioned when he called in, are part of making a human being. Yes. Then I think we are not doing too bad yet, all as South African Muslims. But what is required really is something beyond this. You know, we need to, together with these type of qualities, show qualities of hospitality. And when we do so, one of the aspects of futuha is to be hospitable and to know how to service the guest when the guest actually comes to your home. In other words, what are the adab around it? What are the etiquettes around it? How you go out and meet the guest at the door? How you seat the guest? How you supervise the service of the food? And how you present the food? All of this is part of being well-mannered and being well-mannered in the fullest sense of the word. And chivalry, when we speak about chivalry and we speak about futuha, then Sahal ibn Abdullah has said that chivalry is in fact to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That in all of this, in our you know, etiquette that we spoke about, the jazakallah, the please and the thank you, we have to see what is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our daily activities and those things that we do very commonly. Zunnun Misri rahmatullah alayh once said that if you want to see a person who has refined manners, then go to the water carriers of Baghdad. Somebody asked him that how is that? He replied that when I was brought before the Khalif at some time because of some charges of a Pharisee, then I saw a water carrier at the time, and that water carrier in Baghdad was wearing a very fine turban. He was wearing a kurta of made of Egyptian cloth, and he was carrying these very delicately crafted earthenware pitchers and cups. And I said to someone, "This must be the Sultan's person who is giving water." And he told me, "No, this is the cup bearer, this is the person who provides water to the common people." So he says, "I took a cup and I drank from it, and I ordered my companions to give this person now, in lieu of what I have drank from him, one dinar." And he refused to take the money. And he said, "Then you are a prisoner, and it will not be part of futuha, it will not be chivalrous to take anything from you." So I think that this whole idea of futuha is much more than just the common understanding of these pleasantries that we exchange with one another at times.
Yes, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us and instill within us these qualities. We're going to go for a short break, and inshallah when we return we'll be continuing with the discussion. Also remember, the lines are still open. You still can contribute to the program and you can stand a chance to win that kurta that is sponsored by Arabics. Welcome back to the program. We are discussing futuha, that is a gentleman of honor. Our two guests, Maulana Ashraf Dockart and Qari Tahir Sallu. As we continue with the program, Qari Tahir, that we are living in a dominant non-Muslim country. So living in this society, should we be going the extra mile when it comes to being courteous and respectful?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Living in a non-Muslim environment, a non-Muslim country, I think we do have certain responsibilities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ, that the fact that they are non-Muslim, and yes, we will have a lot of issues, we will disagree with them, but that should not deviate us, that should not stop us from being just when it comes to a non-Muslim. So a Muslim does not have the right to be unjust towards a person simply because that person is a non-Muslim. Now, from this year, obviously we understand that we need to be equal to them, we need to be just to them, and also we need to be kind to them. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam are very, very clear, especially with regard to parents, with regard to neighbors. Whether they are Muslim or not is immaterial. In the fact of a human being, we have to be kind and we have to be courteous to them. And we have to understand that a non-Muslim does not see the Quran in a hurry. They don't see our belief system. They don't see our kitabs. They don't see what are the rules of Islam, but what they do see is our actions. They physically see us as an embodiment of Islam. When they see a Muslim, they think that is Islam. So it is very, very important for us to be kind, to be courteous, and more so to show the true character of Islam. And we all say that there are so many misconceptions regarding Islam. We can set those misconceptions straight by just showing good conduct in society. You know, people say that in Islam, a lot of non-Muslims believe that women are oppressed. Now, if we go out into a public space and a man is shouting, a Muslim man is shouting at his wife, he's being aggressive. Obviously, looking at that, they're going to think to themselves that, say, this is a direct result of, you know, this is really what Islam is all about. So it is really very important for us to keep that in mind. And we have to go the extra mile, because that, in many, many occasions, look at the qualities of most of our akabir. Mawlana Yunus Pati Rahmatullah Ali would go out of his way when it came to non-Muslims, and that is why so many of them had accepted Islam. Recently, I read an article written by a non-Muslim student who wrote regarding the qualities of Safwan radiallahu anhu in the entire incident of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, where she got left back from the caravan, etc. When Safwan radiallahu anhu came, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, the only words I heard was his istirja. He's saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then she says, Hazrat Safwan radiallahu anhu made the camel kneel so that I could get on. Then he walked in front and he led me right up till the rest of the caravan. So on this, she says that the quality of opening the door for a woman is not something that came out now. She says, here is a man who in that century lowered the camel to let a woman get on, and then he walked in front. He did not engage with her in anything inappropriate, and he led her back exactly where to where she needed to go. So this is a quality of futuwa, and I think if we can display this in the public domain, we will not just be showing the true qualities of Islam, but I think it will even make our lives easier as Muslims living in a non-Muslim environment.
Yes, definitely. Up until now, we've been speaking about what we would call the inner qualities of a person. But what about the outer appearance? Is dressing well and looking good also part of deen?
Yes, Mawlana, I think very much so. If we look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells mankind that when they go and they present themselves at times of prayer, خذوا زينتكم. In other words, adorn yourself. Take your raiments of adornment, adorn yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that beauty and dressing and adorning your even your conveyances are all part of man's inner need. لِتَرْكَبُوهَا وَزِينَ. Just as the man's intellectual needs are satisfied by ilm and knowledge, man's outer needs are satisfied by a desire for beauty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that and advises his sahaba that innakum qadimuna ala ikhwanikum fa'aslihu rihalikum. That fa'aslihu rihalikum, you are going to visit your people, you are going somewhere, then make sure that your conveyances are good and that they are well groomed. And then wa'aslihu ribasakum, also make sure that your clothing is presentable and good. Hatta takunu ka'annakum shamatun fil nas, so that you are distinguishable and recognizable among the people. So, Mawlana, as Muslims, we believe that the finest dress that a person can have is really his own skin. In other words, his taqwa. And after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never prevented us from refining our own clothes. In fact, whenever we make the dua, Alhamdulillah, الذي كساني ما أواري به أورتي, that, oh Allah, we praise you and we thank you for giving us the opportunity to cover ourselves and to hide our shame through this clothes that we are now wearing. We follow it with the fact and with the reminder, وَأَتَجَمَّلُ بِهِ فِي حَيَاتِي, that, Ya Allah, you have given us the opportunity that through these clothes we can beautify and add beauty to our lives. Beauty is very much a part of Islam. Looking good and dressing well and dressing appropriately also, it always complements the good actions of a Muslim and the way a Muslim carries himself. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say that inni uhibbu an atajammalu li zawjati, that I love that I beautify myself for my wife just as I love that she beautifies herself for me. So we should always be conscious about our clothes. Dressing well is, in fact, part of good manners. This is not something that is you know, distant for something else. It is actually part of good akhlaq and good manners. Manners will make a person, but certainly good clothes and dressing appropriately will improve his appearance. And this is where often we, as Muslims, sometimes lose the distinction between fashion and dressing well. Fashion you can always buy. You can always go into the shop and buy the latest fashion. But being able to dress well and having style is not something you can buy. That is something that you must possess. So fashion is often something that you can adopt. You can even buy. And people often adopt fashion and go with fashion when they don't know who they are. A person who knows who he is knows what dressing is appropriate for him, and often his dress then reflects his character and reflects something beautiful of the beauty within him, the beautiful soul that he has. We should actually teach our young people to dress well, to have a good taste for dressing, and we should teach them a good taste and a good style. I think this is what makes a Muslim look good. And if you look at our ulama, really, they set the best examples, the ulama of the past, and even the ulama of the dear times. You know, Maulana, if you look at all our ulama who lead our community wherever they are, even if they dress simply, they dress well. When they appear on the Jummah khutbah, when they give the khutbah, we can see that they are considerate of their position that they hold, and also they are considerate of the people that they are addressing by themselves dressing well. On one occasion, and ulama of the past were even more particular about this. You know, there were two senior ulama here in Pretoria. The one was Maulana Ahmed Hadurani Saab, and the other Maulana Garda Saab. And they were in a certain area where they were going for doing the Jummah. And some non-Muslims asked other Muslims that who are these two people who are dressed in their fine Jummah clothes with smelling so good with the itar that they had applied, and said, these people are angels. They look like angels, really, in their appearance, in the way they keep themselves. We should take a lead from these leaders of our community in the past and always try to make sure that we look good. And this is part of deen. It is an explanation and really a way in which we express our thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his ni'mah, for his blessing. So it is this great expression of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. And really, this is something that Muslims must adopt. They must adopt class in what they do. They must adopt style in what they do. And that is something that really money cannot buy. It is deen that teaches that.
Yes, just on that point, you know, I read somewhere that they say, if you look good, you feel good. And if you feel good, you'll always do good. Just continuing with that discussion, that what about grooming oneself? That some people seem to think that the more unkept they are, or the more disheveled they appear to be, the more the, you know, the piety level goes up, the more pious they are.
I think there is a vast difference between simplicity and being unkept and dirty. A person can be simple, yet his clothing can be clean, he can be neat, you know, he looks good. And there is a difference between being unkept and having dirty clothes. Being neat and simple and clean is a very, very important part of our deen. Tahara is something, cleanliness, it is something that is emphasized on upon in Islam. So for a person to be clean, for a person to be neat is very, 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 very important. Very often there's this misconception that the person whose clothes are not ironed and his clothes are dirty, and you know, it shows like he gives absolutely no importance to the dunya, he is very, very pious. No, that is not the case. Islam has taught us to be neat, to be, you know, to look good. Like Moana emphasized earlier, it is very, very important. And there is nothing wrong with looking after oneself. If you look at the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the emphasis of using itr, of tib, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his most beloved color was white. And if a person wears white, white clothes, they say a person who loves wearing white is someone that is very, very conscious of his appearance, because you always have to have your clothing clean. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would wear an imama. He would wear a mishnah, what we term as a jubba. These are such important things that a person needs to keep into consideration. Today, unfortunately, men feel that there's no need for this. That's why sometimes you walk into the masjid, when a man is walking, you know, it sounds like someone's trying to tear the carpet, because the heel is so unkept that the heels are actually tearing the carpets in the masjid. And I think this is something that we see very, very often. So for a man to look good, and we always say the woman must dress for the husband, why shouldn't the husband be presentable for his wife? So grooming oneself is part of deen. It is something that a person must look good. That is why the dua that we read, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي كَسَانِي مَا أُوَارِي بِهِ عَوْرَتِي وَأَتَجَمَّلُ بِهِ فِي حَيَاتِي. I beautify myself in life, and Allah, I praise you for whatever you have given me. When we were in doing hifz, Mawlana Abdul Samad Daya would check the students' nails. He would check their hair. He would emphasize the importance of a good appearance. And he used to say, as a person of deen, don't let somebody see you and get distracted by of deen, get distracted from deen, thinking that people of deen are always unkept. Mawlana was very, very particular. I know when you would walk into the masjid, you smell the itar already. You know Mawlana is around. After making wudu, we would see our ustad combing his beard, making sure that he's very, very neat. But Ismail Ishaq, rahimahullah, used to keep itar under his desk. And before starting to teach Quran, he would first apply itar. And he was very particular about that. So I think it is something that is very, very, very important in Islam. And we need to come away from this concept of thinking that dirtiness and being unkept has got something to do with piety.
Yes, very interesting that. As we come into the end of the program, Mohashav, it says that is there a difference between a person who ostentatiously projects himself to be kind and courteous and someone who is like naturally and genuine?
Malana, as Muslims, we believe that ikhlas and sincerity should infuse every aspect of our behavior. One has to act courteously, but do so out of sincerity. And when you do so out of sincerity, it brings beauty to the act. And sometimes, unfortunately, our courtesies are mere, you know, things that we say. We want to be generous, or we think we're being generous when we say to the brother we meet at the masjid, come home and join me for a meal, when we don't really mean it. And it shows, it reflects. We need to be genuine about the fact. I mean, in the past, whenever a traveler came to our masjid, people would identify him and take him home for a meal. This was part of this great heroic generosity of the people of the past. And then it showed. People accepted those invitations, and people felt easy to come take part and to enjoy the hospitality of other people. So it shouldn't be simply perfunctory. We need to be serious and genuine in what we do. And in all of this, we should not see ourselves and look at our nafs. Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi, said that futuwa is that you do not see yourself in the virtuous deed that you perform. And kindness that you spoke about, Malana, in our actions need to be genuine. In Islam, kindness comes from inner strength. It comes from compassion that one has within him. It comes out of a strong sense of self-control also on one level. And this is why it is so important for us to understand that part of futuwa is being good to the other people in the guild. In other words, futuwa is part of being chivalrous to other people who are standing up to the same type of oath and of honor and of nobility that you have kept. And so it depends on developing friendships and nurturing friendships. Today, unfortunately, we don't have the idea of building friendships and caring for one's friends. We need to do this. We need to make sure that friendships are worked upon. If we have friends
we need to maintain our ties with our friends and do so on an ongoing basis. Friendships are things that are built, and part of Futuha is actually building these friendships. And the generosity that comes out of Futuha means that when we are generous and we do so without expecting anything back. And this is the greatness of the ulama of the past and the pious of the past. That whenever they were generous and whenever they showed this heroic generosity and when they showed the nobility, they were never hopeful even that that generosity will be reciprocated, and definitely they did not accept anything, any material favor back for that generosity that they showed. So, like you say, Maulana, I think it is very, very important that when we show kindness, when we show nobility, then this needs to be genuine, it needs to be natural, and it should not be in any way for any other motive than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to show this futuha and this generosity form.
Yes, that is the point, that to bring ikhlas in all the actions that we do. But Khalid Tayyib, that we've been speaking about gentlemen of honor this entire time. So how important is respect when one is aspiring to become a gentleman of honor?
I think respect would actually be one of the starting points. And respect is a very, very broad term. Urwa al-Thaqafi radiallahu anhu says, I have never seen anybody respect another human like how Sahaba respected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he gave a few examples. He spoke about the akhlaq of Sahaba and what was respect in their lives. So respect, a person needs to respect himself. A person needs to respect his family. He needs to respect the elders in society. مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَلَمْ يُوَقِّرْ شَرَفَ كَبِيرِنَا. You know, to respect the children is to love them, to be good to them, to respect the status of the elders. Respect is something that is the starting point of futuwa. When a man can respect himself, he can respect his religion, he can respect what Allah has given him, he can respect his family, then obviously he has achieved a lot in terms of becoming a true gentleman in life. And that is something that is very, very important. And just to finish off on that aspect of respect, there is mention made regarding Abbas radiallahu anhu, that somebody asked him, he was elder in terms of age to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and somebody asked him, are you bigger or is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam bigger? So he replied saying, huwa akbar wa ana wulidtu qablahu. He said, he is the bigger, I was just born before him. Now, look at the respect, it's just in the words, simple. So, respect is something that, you know, it comes within a person, and it is something that if we start trying to inculcate within ourselves, it is the starting point of becoming a true gentleman. And understand that a gentleman is a gentleman when everybody around him will want to be near him, everybody enjoy his company, everybody enjoy his generosity, his bravery, his nobleness. This is something that is very, very important. And I know majority would try and attribute gentleman to his wife. That's why somebody sent me a message. You know, what is a true gentleman is the one that loves his wife but doesn't try to understand her. So I don't think we want to just restrict it to that.
So we're going to go for a short break, and in that short break, I just want to discuss with our guest that who we think should be the winner of this competition. But before we go to that, one message that has come through here that says that a boy once said to a man, I want happiness. The man said, remove I, that is your ego. Then he said, remove want, that is your desires, and what remains is your happiness. That a true man will lead by example. He will show his children who a true gentleman is. And he said that normally when we hear this word, we think it's just opening the door for one's wife or a person with a cap on his head. But this is a very limited interpretation. Islam has taught us and shown us that there are many different qualities of futuha and that a gentleman should have. So we're just going for a short break so that we can discuss who is the winner of the skurta that we are giving away today. Okay, after discussing with my guest, and I can tell you that all three callers that had called in had given quite a good contribution, and we really couldn't come to an agreement as to who should have won it. So after that discussion, we decided that we'll give it to Brother Muhammad, inshallah, who said that, you know, to become a man, to become, you know, admir, to bring that into your life, that is something very difficult. And that is what this discussion over the last 2 weeks were about, that bringing this humanity or bringing a gentleman, bringing these qualities into our lives. So inshallah, we will contact you inshallah tomorrow with regards to how you can get the prize and how you should, what are the procedures in correcting that price. And we come to the end of the program. Before we leave, we just ask Maya Ashraf for his closing comments and a message that he wants to leave with us.
Just to summarize what people have actually said about chivalry. People have defined chivalry in various ways, and just pick up some of those definitions of chivalry perhaps. Some have said that to be satisfied with little for yourself and to wish much for others. Others have said that instead of seeking the faults of others, you look at your own faults. Yet others have said that when you respond to cruelty with kindness and you do not punish for error, that is being chivalrous. To bring joy to the lives of your friends and to meet the needs of your friends, and to prefer the well-being and the comfort of your brothers over your own, and to relieve them from their difficulties, all of this is to be chivalrous. And then they speak about the idea of heroic generosity. I think that, that on the one hand, a person needs to be brave and needs to be noble in his character, and at the same time, a person needs to be generous. And all of this, the source of all of this, I think, is as Sahal ibn Abdullah rahmatullah alayhi said, that chivalry is following the sunnah. And our source for all chivalry should always be the wonderful sunnah and that great example that Muslims have in Sayyidina wa Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Jazakumullah khairan to Ma'a Ashraf for that, and also Jazakumullah for taking out your time on the Sunday morning and joining us on our panel discussion. I thoroughly enjoyed this program and I'm sure the listeners too. Jazakumullah khairan, Ma'a. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Karitai, from your side, any closing comments? And
just one sentence, Ma'a. In order to become a gentleman, if we see or hear of any other man that has got those beautiful qualities of being a gentleman, as long as he's within the confines of Sharia, every day we will find some quality in someone that we like, implement that into our lives, and day by day a person can only increase in becoming a better person.
Jazakumullah khairan for that, Ma'a, and also for joining us on this program and sharing your insight and your knowledge with regards to this topic. It's been a very great program, thoroughly enjoyed by myself and the listeners. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That brings us to the end of the program, the end of the panel discussion for this week. We are discussing Futuwa, gentlemen of honor. And it's been a great discussion, and really our two guests, Ma'a Ashraf, Dokrat, and Kari Tahir Salu, you could see they came and well prepared and gave us a great insight into this, and inshallah we all can learn from this and instill in ourselves these qualities. And once again, congratulations to Brother Muhammad. Inshallah we will contact you with regards to that prize and how you should go about what the procedure is like. From myself, Ibrahim Daya, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.